Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weave Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning. How is everyone doing?
Good morning.
November 4th, 2015, just so you'll know where we are.
Hope everyone's out there voting yesterday.
Yeah. Big time voting.
Yeah.
Gotta do it. You gotta do it. If you're not out there voting, if you're not out there voting, you don't have a right to complain about anything going on in this town. That's all I have to say about it.
That's all she's going to say about it.
That's all I'm going to say about it. But for the next half hour, I'm just kidding. Today is a super fun day. We're doing a recap of the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo.
How was it, guys? Yeah, fun?
It was a really good time. Everybody and their brother was there. And it was something that everybody should have been to. Everybody should have gone to. Anybody that wanted anything to do with cannabis should have been at this event. It was great. It was really, it was unbelievable, and we'll tell you all about that. We got a couple interviews to do, to play, and more on the way as we talk and chit-chat with people from the show. We met some people from Tucson down there that we didn't know about, and we met a lot of folks from Phoenix that we had never met and was just really happy to do so. Cheryl Schumann was mm-hmm. down there.
Some of the top industry leaders were there.
I want to say something about Cheryl Schumann.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the greatest women I've ever met. In this industry, it's a really hard, it's hard. It's hard for women, but it's a hard kind of industry to get your foot into. Everyone's rushing and panicking, and we've met some people along the way that haven't been so loving and kind, I'll say. But Cheryl Schumann is just, she's professional, she's honest, she's kind, she's truthful, she's innovative, and she's just a really, really nice person. I mean, we're just happy.
We hung out with her pretty much every day.
We're just happy to have people in our lives like that, because you want that good, positive girl power in your side there.
And she's got a reality show coming out about her in Beverly Hills. They are starting the, not the screenings, but the castings now for some of the people that they're going to be having in the show, but that's going to be coming up in the next couple months. So.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the cannabis world. Everybody and their brothers getting in on it, and you should if you can. We went to a lot of different conferences during the lectures during the event, and that's what they all kept saying is, you know, this is just the beginning. If you want to get in, get in, you know. Because it's just starting. I mean,
they said you're in the basement. This is not even bottom floor. We're still in the basement.
We're still
in
the basement.
A young industry. And then still so many ideas, you know, for people to come in and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week, we celebrate 4 years at Tumbleweed Health Center. And we still feel like babies. Mm. Yeah, we still feel like teeny tiny little babies in this all. But wow, what an event.
Well, I started my morning out which class was I in?
A bong hit?
No.
Yeah, you started your morning out?
Well,
Actually, I had brought my concentrates up with me. And, every morning, I had my back was out, so I was on some heavy indica, and the indica, it's amazing what your body can do. You think that this stuff's going to put you to sleep. It'll put you to sleep when you need to go to sleep or when your body's ready to go to sleep. But the indica really just relieves your pain throughout the day, and your body will do what it needs to do to get it through.
Right.
So what you're doing is just you're just giving this the indica
permission to relax your muscles,
but still not put you to sleep, but still have your mind working and being able to go. So I was on point all day on Tuesday when we first started, and the first one I actually went to was the hemp resurgence, and it was with Karen Kirshner, and she is from Hemp Luck Gatherings, and she is one of the pioneer women that are leading up the hemp movement. We're talking about so many things you can do with this product. It'll bring jobs back to this country. It'll bring money back to this country.
Environment.
It's going to start helping. And that's what she was really talking about, is the scientific, environmental impact that hemp will actually have in our world. Just bringing as far as cleaning up the earth. She said they had talked about the dry leaves that actually fall off the hemp plant actually clean the earth 50%. The topsoil cleans the topsoil 50%.
It gets all the...
Not to mention the roots go down and that starts aerating and cleaning the earth too.
Are you saying
I am saying,
Cannabis Kid, that hemp cleans the soil itself?
We know that they planted hemp in Chernobyl to clean up the after effects of, you know, nuclear mass.
Yeah.
Well, oh, and since you brought that up, I'm going to mention that back. You guys remember the earthquake back in 2011 in Tokyo and the nuclear reactor that shut down?
Right, Fukushima.
If you see the pictures from there, like from today, that place is covered in greenery.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. There are buildings and cars just covered in overgrowth.
Wow.
It's remarkable.
Huh. Well, I'm hoping that there's a little bit of the good weed that's
getting in there, too.
The other one, gentleman, was named Bob Hoban, and he is with the Hoban and Fiola Corporation, and they are putting together, working around the world with third world countries, because third world countries have hemp growing all over. Hasn't been eradicated like it has been here in the United States. Every country has some form of cannabis growing on it, whether it be hemp or the good, the even the better stuff.
The good stuff.
The good stuff, the medicine.
The good stuff.
And the medicinal cannabis. And he is actually putting together programs in these third world countries doing hempcrete blocks and building sustainable living casitas for third world countries. It's just amazing. The other guy was Mr. Hemp, and he was really awesome. His name was Jason Lavelle, and he was talking about just how hemp is just going to start moving in. He was teaching people how to grow it out on their acreage, what they can do with it. They were talking about right now it's a slow business. So it's not something that you're going to make a lot of money on, like the cannabis industry, the medicinal part.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's a slow kind of thing. He was talking more on the investment part of it and how it works with just our economics now. We're introducing cannabis into
mainstream.
Hemp will slowly come along. It's like little baby sister. It's going to be tagging along. And what we're going to see here is a lot of industry pickup, where we're going to look at, you know, all the cornfields in Iowa and Illinois and
Kansas.
All those used to be hemp fields at one time. And we are talking about, they were talking about the columbines, the different things that actually harvest the hemp. They're talking about how they're going to have to go back in and recreate all these large machinery, the tractors and things like that. Well, I know for sure that John Deere and Caterpillar were around a long time ago, or there was at least some of these tractor people that had put together hemp harvesting machines. So I know these plans are still there, and you give those to an engineer, and start incorporating. I mean,
that's what they were also saying, mm-hmm. was that we need to be looking agriculturally at this plant, not just out of your little closet in the corner, or what you can do in a little tent in the back room. People need to talk to the agriculture companies, because this is big. This is really, really big. In fact, California cleared, they've got the California Hemp Initiative, the Hemp Initiative for 2016 is out for circulation already. So, I wish I could take a bong hit like that. My lungs are crying looking at that thing. But you should see the beautiful bong we have from H&L.
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to break that open this morning.
Herb and Legends, AZ. This is one of the most beautiful pieces of glassware I've ever seen. I had to buy it right on the spot. I couldn't help myself. He said it was the last one, and I almost fell over. I think Silver and Sister and I were going to duke it out right there on the floor for that last one. It was like, no, I'm on it. No, I want it. No, I want it. Good thing they have a website. It's called Herb, N, the letter N, Legend, AZ.com. UrbanLegendAZ.com. We'll talk more about that.
Herb.
H-E-R-B. Herb. Like your herb.
Yeah, it's a very fancy bong.
Oh my God!
If you folks out there have not seen, this is a company that uses a scientific beaker glass, which is very high quality.
All handmade here in Arizona.
Yeah,
though. They
all
make each separate piece and put it together. It's medical.
Yeah, all medical grade glass, and they're very heavy duty. I mean, these things could take a light dropping.
Oh no.
No.
Oh, no.
This isn't the...
Don't you ever think about
No, I understand. I understand.
No, you can lightly drop it in your house if it's yours. In my house, you don't ever lightly drop
it. I'm saying that these are well-made and...
They're handmade. Every single...
Heavy duty.
Every single separate piece from the bowl that fits in perfectly to its stem, from the percolators to the filters in that bong, are all handmade in Arizona by some incredible artisans. In fact, this bong has... 7 logos, their logos, but put it on 7 times for a spiritual sense of well-being within their water pipes. So
definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. If you're gonna rip up a water pipe, man, that's the one to do. We're gonna start selling them at Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Come on around. We're in the back, and you can get certified for just $85.
Diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Yeah. So contact us. You can call 520-838-4430. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. And you can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and book appointment online right there. You can also find out what events and stuff are going to be happening, because by the second day, we did a radio show from the car just to announce to everybody that they too should be driving up. Not maybe doing a radio show.
Well, no,
car,
we
but
did
they
encourage.
Should be driving up. Anybody that wanted to be involved with cannabis should have been there. They had workshops on finances. They had workshops on dispensary best practices. The Native Americans were there, NICC. We had retired NFL football players, Gridiron Coalition, speaking out against what the NFL does to their pretty little heads. And there were media. There was talks on growing. Kyle Cushman was there. Hi, Kyle. And he gave us some of his Vega Matrix killer product we're going to be using on our plants here, and cannabis stocks, technology, compliance, regulation, digital strategies, and, you know, impacts of just how cannabis is changing our very culture.
Well, you know, one of the things I thought was really, really interesting that they had was, and not interesting, I guess it would be just great that it was an opportunity for people out there that were wanting to get in the industry, is they had a job fair on Monday, which was that first day. And now everybody in here was, you know, some of the top trailblazers from the industry, and they've been working on this for years. You know, and these are some of the ones that have actually
broken.
Like,
we're talking 20.
Yeah, we're talking, they have working on their product, and they have come up with some really amazing stuff. Some of them were brand new, and they had just started, and they were out there, and that's what you need to do with this industry is, if you want it, you need to be out there frontline, hustling every day, you know, putting your, you're putting your yourself out there, getting your business cards into these dispensaries. If you have a product that's something that is most unbelievable, you need to look out for these conferences and these expos. I know that there's another one coming up in Las Vegas.
It's a business expo.
This is a business expo. It doesn't matter. If you're wanting to get in this field, you're going to need to know business. And this is something that's so important that a lot of people that want to get into this industry and fail right away because they think that they know this part of the part, you know, that they know, but they don't know the other part. And that's usually what people go in there and that's what they fail at, is not the part that they knew, but about the parts that they didn't know. So when you're very first starting this industry, you
get
need to get educated on every single part about this.
Go to the Women Grow meetings. We're going to I'm going to start going. I'll speak for myself. I'm going to drive up once a month to Phoenix and go to these meetings because they're really important. Yeah, it's a long drive, but it's once a month. And
we're talking about
a couple cannabis friends with you, and it'll be a quick drive, and you'll get educated. And these women are fantastic. In fact, we have an interview from Megan Stone. We should just go right ahead and play. Megan Stone is
an interior
designer in this field. And
for the cannabis industry.
Yep. So let's just listen to what Megan Stone says about how first impressions are everything when you walk into a place. Oh, hang on one second. And we're going to, I'm just going to say that we were live at the conference, so you're going to hear a lot of background noises. We apologize if it's not super, super clear, but we hope you can hear everything. I know the Capsule Company interview was really hard because they started making major announcements on the overhead, and we were like, wait, we're in an interview. So here's Megan Stone.
Star and the Cannabis Kid here with We Say Radio. We are live at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo with Megan Stone from High Road Design Studio. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you, Bella. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's very nice to see you here. We have a couple questions. We just came from the conference with Cheryl Schumann and Christy Lunsworth, and you were talking about being in your industry in design, designing a more proper way for businesses to look. What would you say to a newcomer when they want to go to a dispensary or a pharmacy of sorts for cannabis? What should they see upon entrance? What are they going to look for? What's going to make them feel safe and educated and have a really good experience?
Sure. Well, retail design is nothing new. Luckily, us here in the cannabis world have a ton of great data and insights and studies and research to take into account when we kind of start our new retail industry. So luckily, we don't have to invent this from scratch. We know what people expect when they come into a retail setting. We know how people like to shop. And it's just a matter of tailoring all of those different behaviors and expectations to a cannabis business. So when a patient comes to a dispensary for the first time, it's huge and extremely important to create a sense of comfort, a sense of safety, and a sense of trust. Alleviating vulnerability on the consumer is a big role that the dispensary needs to play. You know, think about it. We are taking a product that, you know, for most of people's experience prior to walking into a dispensary for the first time was something that could have gotten them arrested and thrown in jail. So it is, the onus is on us to make this experience positive and memorable and safe and normal feeling. You know, everything that you need to think about is, you know, how that person is going to interact. So all the touch points. I always, you know, talk to my clients about where is your customer actually going to touch your facility. They're going to touch your door handles. They're going to touch your countertop. They're going to touch the product and the display jars that it's in. So make sure that all of those things send a psychological signal to your customer. Don't just look past them. Actually think about what that's doing. The waiting area in the lobby is really the first impression of this industry that most people have. It is the first time that they're going to interact with one of your staff. It is probably the only place they're going to be in your dispensary where they're going to sit alone. They're not going to have somebody talking to them. And they're going to be there with their own thoughts for 5, 10, sometimes 15 or 20 minutes. So the psychology of that lobby space needs to be sending messages of safety, of comfort, of normalcy, of privacy also. So design that lobby to be welcoming. Make sure it's clean. You know, make sure you're sleeping underneath your chairs and sofas. Women especially notice details, and any shopper is constantly taking score all throughout their experience. So if they're sitting in that chair for 5 minutes waiting to be called back in your showroom and they can see the dust bunnies underneath the chair, that's already knocking points off of their checklist for you. So make sure that that lobby experience is something beneficial, is something comfortable, and is something that provides a really good point of anticipation for what that the rest of that experience is going to be. You know, design can really go a long way in this role, but staff training and customer service is really what will make or break a dispensary. I can provide a client with a beautiful design, but if they don't know how to run their shop properly or train their staff to communicate with patients in a professional manner or educate their patients in a credible and accurate way, design isn't going to do jack squat, unfortunately. you know, it'll make for a really pretty memory, but it's not necessarily going to make that person come back, and it's not necessarily going to sell that person on the value of the cannabis industry. So it's really a whole package when you're a retailer. It's the design of your store, the quality of your product, the experience they have with your staff when they come in, and how all those things work together.
That's fantastic, and that's seriously important.
Incorporating the education part of it, and like you said, making that patient feel safe as they walk in, is one of the most important parts of the whole atmosphere, the whole experience.
Yeah. You know, it really bothers me when people don't think creatively about what that first point of entry is. With a lot of my clients.
First impression.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some of my clients are in markets where the regulations require that receptionist to be behind bulletproof glass. I don't think that that is necessarily a regulation that's based on a lot of logic,
right. But
that's the way it is.
Right.
That doesn't mean that receptionist has to be talking through a 2-foot by 3-foot glass same color window. That is not exactly a welcoming first ray to come into something that's supposed to be a healing, beneficial, legal experience. So there's different ways that design can help shield some of those regulations and some of that security risk without making it feel like it's a detriment.
Like you're doing something wrong again.
Exactly. I mean, they spend thousands of dollars designing their facilities to be extremely safe and secure, but also be something that feels elegant and high class and customer friendly. Dispensaries need to do the same thing. You know, just because you have a set of regulations that dictates how you have to build and operate your facility doesn't mean that there aren't creative ways to still shape that experience with something positive.
Absolutely. It's such an important factor because first impressions are huge. And like you say, if there's a patient waiting in the waiting room and they start looking around and really analyzing your space, they can tell how much you care about it and what you're putting into it. So what would you say to a new business owner or even a seasoned business owner? What would be your one piece of advice for them heading forward in the cannabis industry, trying to change this reefer madness image that we have? How are we going to do it? Like uniformly? Everyone going to have a different style? What would you say?
Well, I would have to tell business owners to plan for it, to plan to be a retailer and to plan to do it right. Your dispensary budget and pro forma should not be an afterthought. You should not be plugging in a general number to spend on the build-out and furnishing of your store just because that's what's left over in your budget. You need to really be starting with what that retail space is going to look like and what it's going to take to build it out properly. I can't tell you how many times I come on board with clients and because they've gone through a lengthy and costly application phase and a licensing phase and a build-out of their cultivation facility, by the time they get to the retail store, the place where their customers are actually going to spend
their money.
They're out of money. And that is just completely backwards to me. And probably because I'm a huge advocate for the retail side of things, but this is where our industry gets its base. This is where our customers experience us. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Yes.
And this is where you need to be spending the money. I see the amount of money my clients have to spend on renewal fees, on workers' compensation, on the cannabis premium in their rent, and everything they do. And where does the customer benefit from any of that? Never.
Right.
They don't know that you spend 4 times as much as a normal business on your insurance
right. Or
on your rent.
Right.
But they will know that you spend some money on that chair that looks good today and is
right. Going
to look good 2 years from now after it's been sat in 20,000 times.
Right.
They're going to know that you put some thought into that patient experience so that it's easy for them every time they come, so that your displays show them different products that they should be buying. They're going to tell that you're employees enjoy working there and have pride in the place they work in. You know, your employees are going to be able to do their job faster if things are designed right. So planning for it and expecting to put some money into that asset as an investment versus a cost. Design is not a sunk cost. It is truly an investment in your business. People who understand that spending the kind of money it takes to build out a retail dispensary properly, they know that they're going to see that return on their dollar every single time a patient comes into the patient. Their patient is going to be more comfortable spending more for the product they're getting because they're going to enjoy the experience more. I can't illustrate this fact better than with Starbucks. Prior to Starbucks being around, people were totally fine going to a gas station and buying a 99-cent cup of coffee. Now, people go into Starbucks and spend $5 for a cup of coffee that most would say really isn't that great. You certainly can get a better cup of coffee other places, but people will pay for an experience, they will pay for consistency, and they will pay for your customer service and the same thing and professionalism.
Yes.
And the same thing is true for any retail outlet, including the cannabis industry.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this conference and sharing your wisdom. I think it's probably some of the most important wisdom that people in this industry really need to know.
Thank you so much, Belle. It was so fun to talk with you.
Megan,
thank
you here. So much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was our Megan Stone interview, and I was just telling Cannabis Kid as we sit here on the cozy couch, it's fun to hear the excitement in the background, everyone talking. They had kids there. They had demonstrations. The Magical Butter Bus was there. Steve D'Angelo was there signing his books. Our representative, Ruben Gallegos from Phoenix, was up there talking. The founder of Norma was there. It was amazing, and you listen in the background, you can just hear all the hubbub going on, and it was a celebration of cannabis. In fact, it was interesting. The next day, there were more people there set up the next day
mm-hmm.
than there were the first day. I'm not sure why that happened.
I think people were given deals. I think people were given deals for like 1 day or 2 days, and then always get all given like the last day.
Yeah.
The event was 2,000 attended, and it was a little over 2,000. But there was a lot of people there, and a lot of people there. You know, there'll even be more people there next year, and so for people who are really, really interested or questioning anything about this industry, there was doctors there. One gentleman by the name of
lawyers there, patent lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Our lawyer, Mr. Dean, was there. Woo!
Dr. Epstein was talking about the consciousness of this of the cannabis plant, and he was talking about how it doesn't just open up those CB1 and CB2 receptors; it actually opens up new neurons and pathways in the brain. So it's actually helping, when they say it's helping the brain grow, CBN helps brain growth, they're talking about this new way of the cannabis, people who are using cannabis are thinking.
And
you
speaking
know?
Of brain growth,
mm-hmm.
let's do a little interview with Kyle Turley, formerly of the Saints and a few other NFL football teams. But this is interesting. I will not watch football ever again because of this. I will not support something like this. I won't do it. Listen to Kyle. And for all you football fans out there, you just got to listen. If you've got kids coming up playing in the sport, get them out. I'm not kidding. If you want functional adults that are in the parts of society and their family and aren't having brain problems, get them out of football because here you go. Listen to Kyle Turley.
Or you just get them on a lot of cannabis.
Yeah, that too. All right.
Belle Starr and the Cannabis Kid.
Okay, hang on. That one's not working. Hold on. There we go.
Hi, welcome. We say Wednesday, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid.
We are live here with Kyle Turley. Hi, Kyle. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. What brings you here? Tell us why you're here.
I started a group, an advocacy group, company, and it's evolving every day. But it's based around my personal story and experience with cannabis. And we started the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition once I searched out an attorney to help me through this process to get involved in how to put my name behind this so that I can start speaking about this and getting with the products that are being innovated now to help people. And that's one thing that I could do. I could help get this to the people because of my career and what I experienced in football and chasing a dream, and being able to expose what cannabis has done for me is something that people need to understand, because I've been able to distance myself from an experience with the pharmaceutical industry that has spun about 20 years since I was 19 and had, you know, my first injuries from football and surgeries and all these things that then piled up over my career as a football player. So to understand personally and experience the world of football and the repercussions of that and what your life afterwards is going to be like is something I want to help improve for others as they want to search for that same dream.
Help educate people, because I don't think, you know, we're football fans. We scream and yell.
Sure.
You know, get excited when you guys all get slammed on the field. It's real fun to watch. I don't know how fun
it's fun to have happen.
Yeah. But then, yeah. You know, we oftentimes go about our day, do our dishes, and go to bed, and we don't think that you're sitting in a bucket full of ice in serious pain.
Yeah.
Maybe crying, maybe not, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah, I bet.
Not necessarily from the pains, from what we didn't understand what was going on with their brains. Yeah. And that's more importantly why I'm here. I've dealt with the injuries of football on every level, but now to understand what's happened to my brain from that long-term abuse is something that has totally changed my perspective on medicine. You know, being able to address inflammation and pain and all these others, the amount of pain and inflammation that we have in our bodies from playing this sport, it wants to make you try to use Vicodin, to use these pharmaceuticals, because they're so powerful in what they do. But the long-term use and experience with those has shown an unbelievable dark side of the repercussions of the after effects of those chemicals that have been conjured to interact with the system in your body to help make these pains go away, this inflammation go away. It comes at a cost, much like playing the game of football. So now what we know about our brains and the effects not only on our bodies of these medicines, but more importantly our brain, is something that needs to be addressed rapidly. We have a rate of suicide that is unacceptable, a rate of disease that is unacceptable, from Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, ALS, far exceeding the national averages of receiving these things in your life and being afflicted by these ailments, and that needs to stop. There's a problem. It's been exposed. And there's lots of stories out there, and a movie about to come out with Will Smith that's going to expose this in December called Concussion. And to know what cannabis can do for the brain versus what isn't being done for the brain by the pharmaceutical industry, I think just speaks unbelievably loud in great volume to the importance of taking this away from the Schedule One, to being able to research and expose the true medicinal aspects of cannabis. In the valley, and 100%. What can it do? If we can understand, if I can understand in the landscape of medical marijuana today, what these strains do and which ones are good for me and which ones aren't, and that, you know, how these, to do that now under this system that they've put into place with medical marijuana just speaks volumes to why this needs to be in a laboratory and exposed by the greatest scientists and minds in the world, because we can resolve cancers and diseases and brain disease. It's proven to be the only thing to slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease, a disease that has been said by many a politician to be the disease and what will bankrupt ultimately our country. So if we have a medicine that is proven to fight against the greatest threat to our civilization as Americans, it behooves us, every one of us, to examine this on that level alone.
Absolutely. Were you afraid to come out with cannabis, as many people are?
No. I've never been afraid. You know, when I experience something and I feel something that is true and feel strongly about it, I speak about it. I've been talking about cannabis for over 10 years and been on, you know, nationally televised shows talking about cannabis. Been seen as the guy, now I'm the big stoner guy, you know, and been willing to accept that, because I understand what it does for me, and people need to try it themselves and try to experience it. Unfortunately, I used it at, fortunately and unfortunately, I was using it to mask a lot of things that didn't need to happen because of my use of pharmaceutical drugs. And at times over my use of these drugs, I gave them their sole opportunity of distancing myself from cannabis, because cannabis is a medicine that you can walk away from. You know, I say at the end of the day, if you get to a total body wellness, with cannabis. Cannabis is the medication that can be that one medication, literally, that when doctors prescribe you pharmaceuticals, they say, our goal is to one day get you off of this. But that takes a long time. That took 2 months locked in my house, give my car keys to my wife, and cold sweats and shakes and depression and all these things to get off of those pharmaceuticals. And I've walked away from cannabis and said one day, I don't think I'm going to smoke for a month.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. It's like not drinking the Cokes anymore.
Right.
You know, to walk away from the pharmaceutical industry is quite dramatic and very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I'm never going back. I don't even take an aspirin or a leave or anything anymore. And I've got some of the worst arthritic pain I think anybody could possibly have. And there are strains of cannabis that address it enough for me to deal with it in a proper way and know more so dealing with it that the peace of mind I receive from not having to wake up and take a pill every day is an unbelievable experience. Yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys and what you're doing. It's going to take a collective effort to continue to expose this on the levels it needs to be exposed. Very important.
Thank you for educating people the way you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Right on.
Bill Stark, lots of thanks for that because I don't know if anybody, you know, when we first started our business, we could barely even talk about what we do. We whispered it and, you know, we actually felt kind of bad for saying we were in medical marijuana because of the way people reacted. They freaked out. But you have an NFL player. You've got a whole pile of NFL players. Ricky Williams, Kyle Turley. There were two other gentlemen up on the panel. We'll get your names in just a second here. But one of the best, one of the best questions that was asked right after we turned the microphone off, sadly, and that was, how does the NFL feel about cannabis? And what Kyle said was, he said, they're following the research is what they say. So
they're following the science.
Yeah, they're following the science.
They're following the science, and he said that, I kind of made the remark, I said if they were following science, then they should be, this should have been incorporated in it already.
Yeah.
And he said, and they both laughed. He had a gentleman that was kind of following him around, his media guy all day. And we just kind of got in a conversation about, you know, this science. And he made a remark about saying, you know, it's got to be exposed. I don't know if you guys caught that. He said it a couple times throughout the thing. And he's really out to expose this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It is about taking this veil off of cannabis. It's just, okay, you know, the veil got lighter and lighter as the years have gone by, and now we can see right through it, and now you're just wearing it because you're stupid.
Yeah. The other two gentlemen were Nate Jackson and Evan Brighton. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Check it out online. There, and like you said, Will Smith is going to be doing a movie soon, and Space Queen's going to read a little summary of the movie. It's coming out this Christmas, so please go see it. And sorry for you football fans, Super Bowl's not that exciting anyway. Bruno Mars is going to be there again for halftime. Come on, it's the 50s. We could have done something better. We did Bruno last time. So I won't be participating in Super Bowl Sunday. Well, I'll be eating and drinking water and watching something else, maybe some Dr. Quinn. Go ahead.
All right, so touching on that movie, this movie is by Peter Lansman. It's called Concussion. It's due out December 25th. And Will Smith plays Dr. Bennett Amalo, a forensic pathologist that discovers chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a disease that causes brain trauma for football players. And it's got a great cast. There's Will Smith, Alec Baldwin, Juju Mabatha-Raw, Luke Wilson, Albert Brooks, Stephen Moyer.
And wow.
It's a great heavyweight cast.
And it's really going to expose some things that are going to be really hard for you guys to hear. But sit in your seats and listen up, because football didn't used to be like this. We've heard it likened to gladiator sports of the Roman times, because they don't care if you die out there. They really don't care. They don't care about you. They care about their money, their stats, and if they're going to the Super Bowl or not. They don't care. In fact, they said there was a great panel, and they talked about when you're in the locker room and the harassment and the tormenting you get by coaches. And if you complain about being in pain, then you're not going to be there for the next game. Someone else is going to be sitting in your seat, wearing your jersey, and taking all your swag from major companies.
Well, and that's like
not promoting this properly.
Exposing this for what it is.
Yeah. It's not good.
You know, how much are you worth? How much are you worth?
Yeah, how much
is your health and your body worth to you? Your brain.
Usually, other than the Mannings, they age out between 25 and 30, right? I mean, that's about when you're playing football, you're old when you're 25 and 30 on that field. Mannings, I don't know, they're like cats. They got 9 lives. So they're going to be out there until they get a next Super Bowl win, and then they'll retire. But these kids are young. That is so young. Your brain's still probably developing in the 20s, or at least when you're starting to play football, and your brain's getting smacked
around. Your brain's
around.
Always developing.
I know, I think it is, but I don't believe that it stops. But, you know,
surely doesn't need concussions on a regular basis.
Right, it doesn't. And, you know, I don't know, what's the argument against Space King? What do you,
all right,
you know?
So, yes. Now, with that being said, he clearly stated in the beginning of the interview that, yes, there are repercussions, there are risks to playing the game of football. It is a dream that he had, and his whole business of his whole reasoning behind this is to make that dream, you know, accomplished, you know, not accomplished, but easier for everybody else to go into and also be able to deal with those repercussions and those risks in a better way than dealing with it with pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So, I mean, he's not doing this to, you know, steer people away from playing the game of football and stuff like that. Yeah, there are risks and stuff, but he's making it easier for those things to be dealt with and per se, so people can still chase that dream.
But he's,
I mean,
also making it easier for people to have a choice, because he also said amongst sitting in the bucket of ice crying from pain, they're crying because they've got brain injuries that they, A, didn't know they're going to have, and B, don't know how to deal with. He locked himself in his house, gave his car keys to his wife, and detoxed himself. Has anyone ever been through a detox?
He's not trying to take football out of his life.
No, he's not, but he's going to expose it in such a way that hopefully it changes the way it's going to play.
So they'll do more about it.
They need to do something about it.
Not only medically, but in the NFL as well.
I don't think football was played this rough back in the day. You know, when football players walked onto the field with a suit and a tie and a briefcase, it was a fun game.
But they
it
also
wasn't
wore
a
leather helmets
like
and
now.
Doubled up on T-shirts as pads back then, too.
Well, they didn't have technology like they do now, but the technology has also given coaches free rein to say, go out there and damn near kill yourself, which there was a story that Kyle said. Now, this is not okay. Kyle got a grade 3 concussion playing in a game. The last quarter, which is usually about 45 minutes, they sat him on the bench and just made him sit there for the rest of the game. With this grade 3 concussion. After the game, before the fans left, so no one could tell, they got him up, dragged him to the locker room, brought his wife in and said, here, you take care of him. Well, thankfully, thank all the gods in the world that there was a police officer there that recognized the physiological and the neurological signs of what he was going through in that moment, because not anyone from the NFL took him to the hospital. They were all doing whatever they were doing. The police officer drove him and his wife to the hospital. He went in and got an MRI to find out that his brain was swollen and cloudy. They were wondering how he even made it into the hospital at all. That's not okay. And
no,
you want to put your child or someone you love in a sport where people don't care about him, have at it. That's all I have to say. I did a 180 in football after just hearing this guy and seeing this huge, massive man get emotional and tear up. All four of them on that panel were tearing up and F-bombing everybody in the NFL because they were upset that these NFL players, these doctors, these coaches that have known, wait till the movie comes out, they've known this for so many years, the injuries and the effects. Alzheimer's, dementia from football, come on, people. Strokes, these guys are stroking right now, and they're committing suicide because they don't understand the mental problems that they're going through because their brains are swollen. Mm-hmm. Brain fog. So seriously, I'm gonna go support Kyle and his Gridiron Coalition because I think it's important. This is, you know, part of the industry is fun. You know, everyone wants to get out there and wear their green leaves and dance around with their necklaces and have a magical butter bus, and it's all great, and you can take pictures. But this is a medicine, and these people are exposing this medicine for what this plant, for what it is. You know, it can heal you. and the pharmaceuticals on the other end can kill you. Cannabis cannot kill you, but pharmaceuticals can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of pharmaceuticals, I think we have time left. Jonathan Gillespie from the Capsule, from the Capsule Company, is going to be on, or we'll play his interview and find out how what he had to say. They're making a new
pretty
type
amazing
of capsule.
Stuff.
Pretty cool. Flavored, different flavored capsules. They even claim cats will eat their chicken flavored capsule if you need to get your hemp in your animals.
I know Belle was saying this one might be a little bit hard to hear, and we'll go over all the stuff after this one, kind of what he said and what you might have missed.
Because this is when the conference was getting really loud, and then they started, you'll hear them announcing the different lectures that were happening.
Yeah, the music got louder,
people got louder,
everyone.
And I think next year,
first day,
I think next year they need 3 days of this conference, because even with three of us there, we didn't get to all the lectures that we really needed and wanted to get to because they were played at the same time.
Yeah.
So they need to spread out the lectures. Maybe do something like this. Maybe have, you know, from 8 to noon, you've got lectures all day. From noon to 5, people can go and talk to vendors and get their books signed and
maybe
do other things.
Maybe drop the price a little bit. Maybe they'd get a lot more people there.
It ended up, you could get in for free. This was an event that was publicized mostly in Phoenix, sadly, but there I saw tickets all over the place within the center, on the ground outside, for free passes to get in the thing. So, and the event, Rory, I want to give a big shout out to you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this event. They were discounting, the expo itself were discounting tickets for patients and people to just come in. They were doing half off the day of, and actually months before, they were doing half off at least, so it was only $25. And you got $25
worth of half off on Tumbleweeds a couple times.
Yeah, you did. And even if you paid $25 to get in, you're still getting $25 worth of swag once you walk in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So much stuff.
So much stuff. So let's listen to Jonathan Gillespie. This is Cheryl Schumann is media representation for Jonathan. Let's hear what he has to say about what's going on in Capsule.
All right. Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid here.
Woo-hoo, we're here.
We are here live with the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. We are speaking with Jonathan Galinsky of the Capsule Consulting Group. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to meet you. Tell us about the Capsule Consulting Group. Tell us what you do.
We are the number one supplier of premium capsules, hard two-piece capsules for the exact, for the cannabis industry. We supply processors, dispensaries, and large production facilities with their capsules to get their cannabis products into finished form.
Okay, so you supply the capsule, the shell itself, and it's up to them to put the product in it.
Exactly. We advise them on the type of capsule. But our area of expertise is the hard two-piece empty capsule, whether it be gelatin or whether it be 100% vegetarian or you want to have a flavor capsule. That's our area of expertise.
And they come in all the different 00 sizes and everything along the way. Oh, I know my capsule. You betcha. I make my own.
So we got the largest, which is the 000.
Okay.
It's too big for the industry. You see the bodybuilders that use that. And then we go all the way down to size 5. Usually used for clinical trials. The one mainly used for this industry, I think, the 0 and the 1.
And so, what makes this special? What makes this different than everybody else putting their stuff out? What can we do with your capsules that we can't do with others?
Well, number one is you actually know who your supplier is. That's number one. You know who you're getting your capsules from. And I invite anybody who wants to visit my facilities to come and see for themselves how the process works. Quality procedures, quality assurance, everything. So that's number one. I think the other reason is we have such a great variety and such a great product selection, and we can custom make anything you want. So that's also.
So we could put our logo on it if you wanted to.
You could put your logo and you can do a color combination. So let's say your colors are black and white. You do a black and white capsule with the logo in blue or red or whatever comes out. We'll be able to actually design it here on my app.
Okay, excellent. And you said they're of all different types. Glycerin, are they organic? Are they, what are they?
A capsule cannot really be organic because you're not growing it.
Okay.
So, it can't be organic, but we have the vegetable waste, which is cellulose, and then we have gelatin. The key, and it goes back to your previous question, the gelatin aspect of our capsules is important because we only use hide. Hide meaning only the skin. A lot of the other suppliers mix protein, mix their bones, so that's also something very interesting there. We think the industry is quiet. While you're on the field, you might say, well, capsules are commodities. Not if you think deeper and you see how they're made and what the series is.
Is that a more easily digestible product for consumers, since there are so many, you know, people with sensitive stomachs and sensitive, you know, digestional tracts? Is that something that's easier for them to process?
The capsule as a whole is a fairly common delivery dose. They usually all...
I mean the hide versus the bone product.
I think it's more of a quality issue, and also you want to make sure that it's you have the proper certifications. If you have your kosher, aware of kosher or halal, so you want to make sure that if you're kosher or halal, you're going to have a judgment capsule that has kosher in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. You also want to make sure that ESG, meaning it comes from a country source, from a country that hasn't had any issues with Macau.
Right.
But in terms of dissolving, they all tend to work the same way.
Are you getting a big response? Are people happy and excited about this?
I think they're excited, and they've been waiting for it, which is the reason that gets me enthused. I saw the need and I came, and I'm well accepted, so I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Are you in dispensaries now?
We're working with several dispensaries and very large companies already. We're supplying a lot of the products already out there, finally getting them to understand where the capsules are coming from, getting rid of those junk products and bringing in, say, invited. It's taking me 8 to 7 months since we got going, so hopefully with your help we get some more.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to have you on air live on We Say Wednesday.
Yes.
Candace, do you have any questions?
Yes, me and John were just talking about the cannabis revolution, or the cannabis green rush, as you're calling it. How does it feel kind of coming into this industry and really bringing something that we've never gotten to use cannabis as a pill in a pill form before? So what about, it is a new thing, and what does it feel like just kind of coming into this and bringing with the knowledge and your expertise to this?
I'm advocating for a pharmaceutical approach to the industry, not exactly like them, but this is something that's been around for centuries. The actual capsule has been used for over 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to help legitimize the industry. Mm-hmm. Right? We'll be able to now offer products in a capsule form that are predictable, that are dosed accurately. 5 milligrams or 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams or 10. There's no margin of error. This is exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than I coming to you and say, hey, I recommend that cannabis can take 5 milligrams, I'm prescribing 5 milligrams, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to help. It's going to help the industry in terms of regulation get that serious perspective that we need. Get rid of that negative connotation that sometimes associated with it. So this is a great product that's going to help us catapult us to that level.
You think this will make people feel more comfortable, since this is what Americans use, we have been using for centuries old, or pills?
They'll be able to dose.
Exactly. Right. And they feel comfortable with it. They've been doing it, right? Anybody who's hesitant about smoking or eating, they've taken a capsule before, so they'll try it. They're more open to trying something that they've already experienced. So, absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, this is an awesome idea. Yeah. Hopefully someday, Tumbleweed will have their own little CBD capsules.
I want to know a little bit about the colors.
Once you see, it was an invention of mine. I developed these products in 2009. These are actually the flavor capsules. These that you see here have animals printed on them, and these are the kid flavor friends. These are the ones that are designed for autistic children.
Uh-huh.
We've got red, orange, green, blue.
Orange, grape, lime, blueberry, and then you see you got the whale. Yeah, that's right. Smell it.
Yeah, open that jar. We got a little jar of fun stuff here, it looks like. Not for your kids, though. Keep it locked up, folks.
Right, so that's a product that I did back in the day.
What do we got? What's our scent?
They're like,
ooh. Yeah. Very perfumey.
It comes a bit more pleasing. We all know the cannabis oil has a strong smell.
Yeah,
which also helps.
Right, especially for the kids.
It's a good product.
It is a good
product. Same product?
I know, it's kind of hard to hear with all that noise in the back. But. Yeah. There you go.
All
the flavors of the rainbow.
Wave now going on non-psychoactive, mm-hmm. The right products in the bed industry. That's the next
wave.
Yeah, absolutely.
awesome.
It's incredible.
Well, this is fantastic. We wish you much success. This looks awesome, and we hope to see our logo on soon.
Yeah. What a great product. Thank you.
And where can everybody reach you and find out about this?
CannabisCapsules.com. That's easy enough for you guys to remember.
That works for us.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. We say Wednesday.
All right. And the real pronunciation of his name is Jonathan Galinsky. He's the founder and CEO of CannabisCapsules.com. Check it out. It was pretty cool. They were really pretty capsules, actually.
Yeah. He had one of the large in-caps at the end and was just had people. He had a really nice little seating area. It was right next to Leafly. And,
cozy little white
cozy
couch
place,
there.
Yeah. That's why it was so loud. We were kind of like in the midst of
the hub of it.
The like busy area.
Yeah. And then the announcements went off. But we ended up buying this incredible little lockable storage box for your cannabis called the Tote Box. And they're all handmade with different kinds of woods. They're absolutely gorgeous. We got ours on sale at the event. And that was the other thing, that a lot of vendors were offering their wares at really discounted prices. So you would bring them out into the community and check them out. This was their first show, I think, and they were doing really well. Boxes are beautiful, same different colors, made of different types of alder, maple, different types of woods, and like I said, they're lockable, which is fantastic because you don't want anyone getting at your medicine that's not supposed to.
They were out at one of the after hours the first nights that we all fell.
Oh, we followed them all around. They're fantastic,
fun
guys.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
But we really did have a fantastic time, and we'll have to talk more about it. Like we said, there were cannabis business specialists there. C4 Labs was there. Just people about, like, I got a business card about agricultural innovation. There's a patent and trademark lawyer there. Lots of edible companies were there. Normal was there. Both petitions were there to be signed. I didn't see the mindful regulators, but they were there too. And it was just, they had a live cannabis radio show going during the whole event. And you could, if you missed any of the lectures and stuff, you could oftentimes see these people up talking on the radio. It was really, really cool. And we were really blessed and very fortunate to be a part of it and hope to be so next year as well. What an event. And
it was exciting. Just the people that we were meeting there, from all over. I met a girl from Ohio. We met another girl from Hawaii. A lot of these states around the country are looking for these types of events to happen, mm-hmm. because they need to start meeting the people that are already doing this and leading the way, and network with them, because those people have great ideas too,
and connections.
You
got to know people in this.
Ohio, she was talking about how we didn't get to news today, but Ohio is going to be is working on their medical marijuana program.
They're working on
but
they had a defeat of their measure.
Yeah, but
that's okay.
You remember how many times we had to fight.
Their representative, Earl Blumenauer, said the defeat of Ohio measure in no way slows down the revolution taking place across this country.
And that's absolutely true. It's, you know, you got to fight for something, and with the power of the people behind it, it will happen. And Ohio, keep fighting, keep on keeping. California is working on their stuff. I didn't get to read anything about it, but I know that they've been working on it. Normal was out there. Again, if you're wanting to get involved with more of these things, check out azmarijuana.com. There is a lot of information on there as far as getting vocal. And if you're wanting to make this happen as far as legalization, it will be on the ballot. And Belle and I, we always talk about the initiatives. Know what you're voting for. You know, we don't tell you how to vote, but we're explaining to you that one is for the people and one is not.
Know your options. And if you come down to Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, we've got an actual guide to both of the initiatives,
very nice.
A very nice comparison. You can check it out and see for yourself why you would vote for one and not the other. So, at that, oh my gosh, we're going to have to continue this little conversation next week because there's just so many great things there. It's flabbergasting and mind-blowing, and it was really great to see everybody that we did, and we can't wait to just keep in touch with them and make more contacts and make more cannabis.
And thank you, Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. We can't wait to see what you're going to do next year, who you're going to have.
Yep. All right. We'll be there again.
We'll be there.
We'll have a booth next time.
Yeah.
We'll be setting up shop.
That means I'll be there.
We'll be camping out early. That's right. You know it. So come on down. Get certified. Support your local state program. Support yourself. Use this plant, this medicine, this wonderful little weed in the best way that you can. Share it with everybody, well, that you're supposed to. At least share the knowledge. Share their education with everybody. And we'll get back and we'll talk about a lot more next week. And we're going to have some actual live interviews from people that we met there and we gathered a million business cards from. So thank you, Cannabis Kid.
Thank you, Bellstar.
Sativa Sister, Space King, Space Queen, you guys rock. Thank you, azmarijuana.com. We're always checking out their site for our news articles. And in the Daily Star, there was a nice giant article about the convention. So there's so many places to get educated. But come back to Weedsday Wednesday and tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
Remember, be smart, be safe, and educate.
Super Bowl party is a bell.
Never again.